Unless you live under a rock or in a birdhouse, you've heard about Threads, the text-based version of Instagram that Mark Zuckerberg says offers a new separate space for real-time updates and public conversations. It's basically Twitter in 2012 with the added bonus of the quote tweet already being there. But should it matter to meeting and event professionals? Is it a social outpost where we need to be, and does it matter? Today, Tess and I are joined by Bob Tuvey, publisher of Event Planner News, and John DiAdamo, senior account executive with GRIP, to share our thoughts. A big shout out to John for being a good sport. Today's episode was supposed to be all about GRIP, the award-winning AI-powered event app that's built for matchmaking. You can find them at grip.events. And without further ado, let's start pulling some threads.
Good morning and welcome to the Event Tech Pull-Up. My name is Tess Bismel from iSocialX, and I'm so happy that you are here with us today. We have an exciting group of people on the day after what most social media people say is an exciting day. And what we're going to talk to you about is kind of what this quote unquote new opportunity is in social, how it blends, and what kinds of things we should do on the event tech side of things in our particular world. So Keith, you've already introduced our audience. I want to kind of kick it off with, you know, what are we really talking about today? Is it necessary in the world? I've always talked about email hell, and email hell exists because of this lovely word called Threads. So tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk.
Actually, that was a really weird name choice of Threads, considering that Threads have been hell for a lot of people for a long time. But I think this might be the most significant social, and I don't get hyped up about a lot of things, right? I don't, you know, when Mastodon was making a run at Twitter and Blue Sky and all of those things, I don't jump on bandwagons very often, but I think that Instagram has something here. And I think that there were probably a lot of event marketers that were up late last night trying to figure out what the hell to do with it. But let's see what Bob and John are thinking about this topic. Because I mean, we have four of the most brilliant minds in the event industry right here. So we should hear from all of us. So Bob, how are you feeling about Threads?
It's nice. Because it's like instant sign up to it. Your Instagram account's copied over. And I noticed that it was open for 2 days before the world got onto it. And so far from those people, they've all said really positive things. They really want to start off as being something, it's a nice place to be at. As opposed to like Twitter that became not a very nice place for anybody to be at, especially women, anybody of an alternative nature and culture. It just turned into be a horrible place. So Threads straight from the go really intends to be a really comfortable place to engage people with. It seems like a nice way of starting.
Yeah, John, tell us about your thoughts on it. Your thoughts, yeah. And then let's do GRIP thoughts.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't know who I am. My name is John DiAdamo. So I'm senior account executive at GRIP. So I joined Threads last night, and my first thought is Zuck had to do something, because with the metaverse kind of not going his way and looking like The Sims from 1990s, he kind of had to do something. And I'm sure that Threads was in the works for years, just like Apple has their stuff in development for years, but it probably was accelerated heavily by the fact that the metaverse project wasn't really doing what he wanted it to do. And they designed it beautifully, to be fair, bringing in the audience of Instagram. And I already have a bunch of followers, and it's kind of cool. It's a great interface. And unlike the launch of Lemonade, Remember Lemonade was a thing for like 2 days because TikTok was going to get banned, and then that never happened. And nobody cared. This is the opposite because you have that built-in audience that you can import very, very quickly. And so it's already, I think, what, 10 million users was what I heard.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it, right? I think with every other platform, there was friction, right? Yeah. If you wanted to go to Mastodon, you know, and people have been wanting to leave Twitter for a long time, right? It's just there's nothing else that compares. And, you know, you had Mastodon, which was a horrible experience if you didn't understand decentralized networks like that. Blue Sky, hello, I'm still waiting for an invite, right? It hasn't come. So they're slow rolling. And I just think there's no friction here. And when you get in there, it looks just like Twitter in 2011.
Right.
It's simple. It's easy. It works.
Yeah, it's simple. It's a low thought entry. But I'm interested to see how people think about it strategically. I think the only reason why social works well are two reasons. Number one is because you tell stories, and I need to see how are people going to be telling stories on it, unless it's, and not just have run off the mouth, right? Just doing things, threading to just be threading, right? And then also, I think that social is very successful because of strategy. So if we are talking about strategy, did people think about how they wanted to enter the platform before they entered the platform or as they were going in? Is it really necessary to bring your entire audience over? Like, I never have been an early adopter to social since when was that? Like 2000, I think my Twitter account's 2008 or something like that, right? So each time I enter with the thought of I need to understand it to understand how I'm going to approach quote unquote followers or who I choose to actually follow. Right. And I don't know if the audience is built for certain things. Like I have certain audiences on certain platforms for certain reasons, and eventually they may integrate in a certain kind of way, but you know, I don't, and I wouldn't, and I didn't do it that way. I didn't do select all and go straight in. I just slowly trying to figure out what is going to be best in the platform, who I want to hear what, why, what in the world am I going to say? How am I going to say it and how does it work? So I'm probably a little different when it comes around to social than most, but I still think people should think about it and not think it should be just a copy and paste.
I think everything that you've just said makes absolutely perfect sense. I think that a lot of events and conferences, you know, they just need a place to broadcast, right? And they just need a place to broadcast into where they're not. Tweets are like shooting a t-shirt cannon into a huge crowd, except for half of the audience are your audience and the other half are trolls and Nazis and weirdos and right. And so there was always that. Lately, there's been a lot of apprehension around Twitter, right? You know, it's like, Do you want your brand on Twitter? Right. Because if it gets embroiled in something that's horrible.
But that's still just media hype, though. We do realize that we're guided by propaganda in life. So, yes, that exists. But does it really truly exist at the level that people just let their fears roll? So, you know, John, I'm interested to really know what your marketers may buzz about and think about. I know it's only been a day or so. You may not have had a chance to talk to them.
But in your thought process,
kind of
furiously
around,
slacking them and seeing what they think.
Right. I mean, but there's got to be a little bit of something out there. And I just think that true marketers take time and strategize. They don't get on hype. They see it. They test it out. So I'm just interested, John, what you kind of think they may think.
Just looking at what some of the brands have already been doing. So if you look at Wendy's, they've been kind of the case study for a lot of social media platforms on what you can do in kind of developing your own identity, and developing like a personalization of a brand. And so they're already like taking shots at McDonald's and things like that on their and like encouraging people to respond and having a nice little war there. So, you know, I'm sure Grip will do things related to meetings and do things related to connectivity. You know, I'm sure that that'll be discussed in the rooms for sure.
Bob, you've done a lot of research on Threads. Kind of tell us a little bit about what you found.
Yeah, there's some really interesting things of Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, and also Adam Mosseri, who was the founder of Instagram. Shared early this morning. I stayed up to like midnight so I could install this thing and start experimenting with it.
Bob and I were actually on a meet call. And sorry, Bob, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, fine.
But this is actually why I think Threads is the real deal. Mastodon came and went. Blue Sky came and went. Lemonade came and went. And Bob and I never hopped on a phone call when it was 1 o'clock in the morning for him. Last night, we were actually on a call talking about this last night, which that actually says something right there. Bob, take it away. Sorry.
And they didn't invite me, John. I mean, really?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'll make up to you one day. Don't worry. Anyway, so apparently, according to Mark Zuckerberg, there were 2 million signups within the first 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within 7 hours, there were 10 million signups. Has any other social media app ever had that sort of attention within the first 24 hours?
No, because it's just all of the entry point and the way that they did it. So we can't compare apples to apples there, right? You got to work for your audience in all other social platforms. This one you don't have to work for it.
Definitely. So this, you must remember, this is only version one. This is the first version of the app. So it's not supporting the ActivityPub protocol at the moment, as we discussed earlier. So that's coming. The web version, like Instagram has a web version, that's coming. Most people seem to think that the Instagram web version is like an afterthought. It's not a great thing to be using, but it works.
The UX isn't amazing. Yeah.
It's not the same experience. So it's kind of like, well, you asked for it. Okay, we'll do a web version if you really want it.
And that's what it feels like when you're using it too. Oh, you. I guess we'll do this, you know.
Yeah. So there's no website. There's no direct messaging.
Yeah.
No ads yet. They want to have a stable platform. They want to get everybody. They want to establish what the culture of Threads is going to be, how people, what people think they're seeing there, how it's all put together. So that's
all. Well, and when you're putting advertising packages together, you need to have your supporting metrics. So that's why they're, that's another reason why they're waiting. So they can compile their first PDF. Of metrics for their advertisers.
Yeah, obviously they want to see what the engagement levels are like, you know, what the followers are like, all that's how, so they know how to insert the ads.
Right.
There's one thing that feature that I saw mentioned within various threads. In the setting, there's something called hidden words and phrases. So you can actually not see a reply to a thread or even a thread itself if it contains certain words, so you can filter out.
Like Twitter. Like Twitter can do that. You can do that.
Twitter can do it, but nobody seems to be using it because there's far too many upset people on Twitter complaining about it.
They probably don't know
it.
I think it's that they don't know it exists.
But they've been mentioning it. So far, it's smooth. They've already said they don't want any rate caps. They think you deserve to see more than 600 posts a day. So that's a direct dig at Twitter.
What a concept.
And
considering I'm the product, it's the least you can do.
So the app is that, providing you're not a web scraper and you're trying to get content out of it. And if you are rate limited, they want to know about it. So maybe there is some provision there to ensure people are not scraping, some sort of anti-scraping measure.
And the biggest thing that it doesn't have is what? Hashtags, too.
Yeah, no hashtags yet.
No hashtags. Again, that's all to come. We're version one. Well, or perhaps 0.5. Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of features to come. And
I honestly, it does not yet have any integrations, right? So it's not like you can use Buffer to share. It's not like you can use Hootsuite or whatever, Agora Pulse, whatever your flavor of the day is for social media management. So I think a lot of their success, at least with marketers, will depend on how quickly they add that to the mix.
I'm pretty sure Grip's social media team have already noticed that, I'll take it you guys use Buffer, that Twitter broke Buffer because the API. So you know how you type in at somebody within Buffer?
Yeah.
The autocomplete doesn't work, and it doesn't work for hashtags either. Because Twitter made changes to the API to stop the put in rate caps. It moved the API, but it's probably because it's chargeable now and people are, you know, coming up against that. So that doesn't work. So if Buffer can work with Threads to have that feature working seamlessly, that's going to be another reason for social media marketers to go, yeah, not Twitter anymore. It's broken. We're going to use Thread because it just simply works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Meta's, they're furiously working on V1.1 right now, which will talk to more things. Because you know that always comes after V1 is the V1.1 with all the fixes. So we'll get there.
Here, we just got to update just a little bit.
Yeah. And they know a little bit about developing in tech and roadmaps. So they give us what we need enough to talk about them. And then they just kind of keep spoon feeding us as they so choose and will.
Yeah. Well, I think with any good product launch, you don't say, look, 100 new features. No, you start with 10 and then say, coming in a few weeks' time, there's going to be another 10. You eke it out to keep that interest rolling all the way through.
Well, and to keep the platform rolling, right? The more crap you bolt onto anything before it takes off, the heavier it is, and right? Just go out the gate and do what you need to do, and people will be there. And I think I know I mentioned this when we were talking before, but I think one of the biggest things was, and Bob, you actually alluded to it, is ActivityPub, right? It is that protocol for social networks going forward. Where, and so this is why I want every event marketer, every meeting planner, everyone just needs to go and get a Threads account and just say hello, right? So that there's as many people on there as possible, because they're supporting ActivityPub, which it means in the future, not now, but in the future, all of the platforms, Mastodon, Blue Sky, WordPress has already said they will support it. And also Tumblr, which is a WordPress product now, will support it. But that basically means you'll have one place to be posting and it will go out to all of these other networks. If let's say you're a keynote speaker or whatever, and you do a lot of your advertising through social or a lot of your lead generation through social, and all of a sudden you fall out of love with Mastodon, you will just be able to port all of your posts over to Threads, or you'll be able to go from Threads over to Tumblr, whatever it happens to be. Alon is never going to join that. He wants his little walled garden. He wants to create the West version of WeChat, which he's burned that fucker so far down to the ground now, it's never going back. Right? Twitter is never coming back, people. Sorry, it is.
We're in an age of...
What a great use of $42 billion, right?
I think it's
I mean, it's...
You know, and I'm a Twitterholic, so it's sad to see how he bastardized it and has done that. But it also is interesting to see all the people who become naysayers of it and still go nowhere. So I think the interesting thing is that this is going to be the only platform that's going to give it a run for its money and give people the opportunity to do something else. Just exactly like Instagram did. I don't say Facebook. I will say Instagram, because Facebook was so drastically different from Twitter when it came out. I think Instagram is that kind of different place that people could go, and people kind of saw social a little different after that. And I think now what's going to be interesting is to see how do people treat the community? do they look at it as community, or do they look at it as this is my social platform where I'm going to do X, Y, and Z? Or are they truly, truly looking at this as building an actual community where you can have cross-bearing communications and relationships and things of that nature? So that's kind of what I'm looking out for. And true, John, like when, if you're thinking about the events industry and what you're doing, you know, as account executive, your role and what you do to amplify GRIP, what tools would you go to use for your clients and to make your job easier and better for, on the social side? And more importantly, what is it that you're looking for to be able to do, whether it exists or not? What is, you know, what do you think would happen?
Well, in terms of using Threads, I think the reason to get on so quickly and why I did it the first day is to really start building that audience immediately, especially since, as you said, Tess, how easy it is to bring people over. So I'll definitely be looking at all the tools that are available. I mean, you know, I have in my arsenal, just from an AI perspective, like I use all kinds of AI tools in my day-to-day life to just make things easier. Like Fireflies is one that I use all the time for things like note-taking and summaries and recordings, because it just makes it so much easier to actually listen to the customer, to be actually focused on the call. And then I get my notes afterwards and can listen into that. So things like that, or Cider, whatever the equivalent of that is in Threads. Whether those products come up with a Threads equivalent, or whether something new comes up, I'm sure there will be things that will be used as a supplement. Which is how I try to use AI. It's to help you do your job, but it's not a replacement. You know.
Yeah, Bob, since you're the technical one of it, how do you like the layout of Threads in terms of how it comes up and it appears versus some of the other platforms that are out there?
I like one of the things I quite like about it is you've got your display of all the threads going on the left hand side. If you're not following somebody, it'd be their circle, their image, plus a plus sign. You can just tap on that and instantly follow, which is a cool feature. There's one other feature I haven't mentioned yet, which I think is actually quite important. So we all know, like Facebook and Instagram, you can, and maybe YouTube Shorts, you can spend hours just scrolling through, looking at stuff, and the day disappears and you've done nothing at all apart from drink tea and eat biscuits. There is a feature, in the settings, called Take a Break. Mm-hmm. You just decide when you want the app to say, you've been doing this for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Time for you to move on and do something
else.
Wow. Oh,
that's cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, that's cool.
So, well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, wasn't Instagram had problems in the past where people were complaining that teenagers were becoming addicted to it and it was, there was doom scrolling forever. Well, this is their attempt, I guess, trying to mitigate that. So that's really, really cool. That does mean that you're interrupting the flow. So if you have got a marketing message out there, you've got to get it in within that time span, I suppose.
within your time frame.
I've only got 30 minutes to sell to this person. So it's still a cool feature. And I think it's they've taken some of the better aspects of other social media apps, and they refined it and made it to a nice UI. And
right,
it's cool.
And combined it with sensible content moderation.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. Well, you know, just as you said that, though. So Keith and our teams come together and kind of hash it up. This is what's happening in the world of tech. This is what's going on. So Keith was like, "Okay, y'all, take a look at this thread, and it's coming up. Take a look at it." So of course, me and my moving fast self, I don't click the link and I just go find it when I had that extra moment to go find Threads, right? And Tess finds what she thinks is Threads. Mm-hmm. it. Oh. Now what I thought is signed up everything, went through it. Because mind you, I glanced. Because I was really busy at the time. I skimmed what he said. And then I said, okay, I'll get back to it. When I had that moment, I just went into Google and did threats, right? I start signing up. Da-da-da-da-da. I was like, oh, this is cool. It says it's a Slack replacement that keeps information organized. And it can kind of keep going, right? And I was like, okay, well, that sounds a little different than what he said. Okay, so I broke it down for him. Of course, I did my screenshots. I was like, Keith, I didn't do that. It does this. And he's like, what? He's like, what the heck is she talking about? So then when I broke it down even more, I said, that's bad marketing. So there's a problem there. So either there's a lawsuit in coming, there's a takeover coming, something like that. There is Thread.
Oh, good Lord.
Meta owns Threads. Dot what? Net. And then there's threads.com.
Uh-oh.
And that's think about that, how Meta is not in front of a .com.
That's
number one.
Unique, but, yeah.
Exactly.
This is helping threads.com boost their user base before they sell.
In amazing ways, which I think is a perfect strategy for them. Whatever they did, if they said no when they came knocking at the door, very good, very good, very good. And then so what happens is if you look at threads.com, it is built like threads.net.
Oh.
And I want to show y'all. I really do want to show y'all. Keith, can I?
For the benefit of the folks that will catch this on YouTube, yes, you can show them. For everyone else that's riding in their car right now, yeah, you're
watch
out
it later.
You're out
I'll watch it later.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't. Can I share? So take a look at this. What does this look like to you?
It looks like.
Threads.
So what I'm going to do for all those people who, like me, who can't see, look at that.
So we're looking at a thread-style webpage, I guess, Threads. With your name, a hashtag.
No, I'm logged into threads.com.
This is threads.com.
I'm just on their notification page.
Sure.
Right? So they sent me a notification. This is my account, so that's my little avatar right there, right? Right? And if you want, I can stay on it. That's my little page, right?
Love it. Yeah.
Shows I'm available. But look at this. Threads is a Slack replacement. Didn't I say that? Look at there.
Wow.
And I can go ahead. Needs more than just a chat. Look at there.
So Meta and threads.com are going to have to come to some type of an agreement because this is going to be pretty.
Exactly. So the way that you read threads on both sides is the same freaking exact way. It's just that this is more of a communication tool like Slack, of course, which I thought was interesting that all of their marketing says Slack. And on top of that, if I go into it here, I can, let me close my little bubble up, I can actually connect my Slack channel completely. So what? It makes it easy. So when you're logging into it, I can actually integrate completely with Slack. I can bring over conversations. I can merge my entire piece. So that's interesting.
Here's an idea. Why doesn't threads.net just buy threads.com and roll this functionality right into Threads? And then you're killing a second platform right off the bat, too, because everybody's sick of Slack.
Yeah. Be prepared to open the piggy bank.
And then just like Bob talked about, yeah, John, because just like Bob just talked about what it can do for Buffer, it can do the same thing for Hootsuite. Oh, they'd be further down the line with that.
Just out of interest, threads.com was registered first in 1995.
Yep.
So I got a feeling they probably thought there's no way we're going to spend money on buying that out. Let's go with .net.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that I just don't think that that's a smart move. But they got the money.
Just wondering, start the stopwatch now for when the lawsuits start happening? Or
exactly. And if they're bought in 1990, if that was bought in 1995 and their UI looked like this and then they started threads.net, come on.
Let's see. The courthouse here, at least in Chicago, opens in an hour and 15 minutes, and that is when your first lawsuits are going to be hitting.
Yep.
They've probably
been gearing up.
Oh yeah. Anything that we know in the public has already been done in the dark. So I just thought that we had to talk about that, right, John? What do you think about that?
I think somebody was up last night doing some coding, doing some quick coding the last couple hours to get that looking so close to the UX of Threads app. So somebody was on it, and I think it's pretty clever. But yeah, there's going to be some litigation for sure. Around
absolutely.
This.
And this, and threads.com is out there first.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And it's been there. So it's like it's interesting.
So they're going to have to address that. So
I know everybody wants to sue everybody because they're using the same color, or you've got pixels on your page. Oh, we've done that. We're going to sue you for that. But there's only
just so you know, Mr. Britt, that
is America.
It is. I mean, come on. Exactly. They have to be waiting for a payday.
If we can't shoot you, we're going to sue you.
If I'm not mistaken, which I thought was pretty cool, I think the founder, I have to find her name. I think it's a woman, which I was all excited about. I got to go find her because she's
a
woman.
But from a user interface point of view and from a design point of view, do you have much in the way of choices when it comes to displaying, updates on a page?
Which one?
On any social media app, like Twitter, like Threads, like anything. If you're showing a display of what of updates sent put in by people, there's only a certain way you can do it before it becomes confusing. So there is going to be similarities all the time. This is why they come down to suing people for color and of a graphic.
Absolutely. It literally was when I opened Threads app after I figured out that wasn't it. I was like, oh, this is the same thing. Matter of fact, that's why I made my first post in Threads about it.
So what is our consensus here, right? How is this going to...
You're right, Jess.
That was frightening. what is the consensus here? How as for amazing prognosticators, is it going to make it? Is it going to be a new outlet for conferences, events, marketers, whoever, to use to get their messages out to attendees and other stakeholders? Is it going to survive in the long term? And is it finally going to put a stake through the heart of the bird?
John, I think you should go first on that one.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that way we don't have
oh
to
boy.
Do that. We're going to let you walk into the fire and then we'll follow along.
If there's any legal problems, we'll just say, well, John said it first.
Well, John said it, so it's fine. So I think that Meta did a really smart thing. So now you have Facebook for when you're talking with your aunts and uncles. You've got Instagram for photos and imagery, and events industry will still be using that all the time for visual impact. And then now you have Threads, kind of the new town square. Twitter was the town square. Now Threads, I think, is going to be the town square for when it comes to breaking news, when it comes to, actually having conversations with celebrities and with influencers. Now you'll be able to engage with on Twitter. It opened up a whole new avenue where you can talk to people that normally you'd never be able to talk to. I think that will continue on Threads as well. So I think unlike Metaverse, where you had to get hardware and you had to get like all these things, everybody has a phone. And because it's tied to the Instagram audience, I think those two things are going to make it a success. But again, could be wrong, been wrong lots of times before. So who knows?
I like that little caveat. Yeah, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I'm not a scientist, but Bob, what do you think?
All right, so it had within 7 hours, it had 10 million followers. So yeah. Within 24 hours, that's going to go up, but not at the same rate of climb. The question is, where are all these followers, all these users rather, coming from? Well, they're not new users. They're going to come from Instagram, but also very dissatisfied Twitter users. So long as Threads can offer features and updates and good conversations that you can't have on Twitter anymore, then obviously Twitter's going to suffer from a reduction of users. So far, so good, I say.
And Tess, because you are our biggest Twitter aficionado here, we're going to give you the last word. And I am going to go with, if things keep going, just from what I saw on Twitter last night, because I was kind of flipping between the two platforms, right? And I was looking what's trending.
Right.
And last night, the number one trending topic globally was Threads, and that was on Twitter, which doesn't bode well for Mr. Musk. I think that there's no friction in getting an account. And if you're a conference and event, an event marketer, whatever, and you're already using Instagram, rolling over to Threads is literally no issue whatsoever, right? It's just done. I think this one's got staying power. I think that, you know, the one thing that Meta has to know is Twitter was never for everybody. And I don't think Threads will be for everybody, right? I already love it because it's, for me, it's like the old days of Twitter, right? It's very 2012 Twitter, where it's simple, it's easy, there's no drama. So I don't know. I think I'm going to go with it's going to be a winner. And I think that Twitter had three engines out, and the fourth one was smoking. And I think it just went out.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to follow up very quickly with that, was by saying if it's not going to take long before Threads has more users, active users, than active Twitter users. So that balance is suddenly going to go into Threads' favor. So therefore, they have to capitalize on it, which is going to make it a great place for anybody who's doing marketing or wish to mention an upcoming webinar, which John has coming up soon.
True.
So it's going to be really interesting how that plays out. I'm sorry, Tess, you do carry on.
All right, Tess, this is you. Bring us home.
Okay, so yes, I am a Twitterholic, have been since 2008. And what I will say is this, I think Thread app is going to give Twitter a run for its money. From a longevity standpoint, I think it's going to be here for a long time. I think what they're going to have to do is differentiate, like I mentioned earlier, their voice and their purpose. Are they really truly building community, or are they just allowing people to just talk, right? So it's always about strategy, what's in the bones and what's going to differentiate one platform for the next, because none of them are ever exactly alike. There's another app out there called Spill App, which is a similar design to conversational, kind of a cross between Instagram and Twitter, and in a sense, and it was developed by people who came from Twitter, and it's focused on microblogging and really focused on targeting the people of color, which is an interesting thing because the design within that is a different type of design. So I think what you're going to see are more segmented communities that are going to be building their way of community and culture, and then there's going to be the main app that people will actually have conversations in doing. And I think from an event prop standpoint, what we have to see and wait and see is, how are we building channels, right? How are we building, well, this is my event that's going on, and here's truly the conversations that are going on at my event, and what would bring people to it and learn more about the products and services that we provide. So yes, I think it's going to be around a long time, but I think the strategy around what people do in it should come, will rise to the top, I hope, quicker than it will some of the other ones like Mastodon and all of those. It was just shiny objects, and we like shiny objects and won't stay in it. So I think we actually will stay in that one. So hopefully that was a good one. Was that okay with you, Keith? Did I do okay with that?
You killed it. Woo. You nailed okay. it. But John, before we say yes. goodbye for the day, because this was supposed to be the
I mean, it was. But it's all breaking news. Come on now.
Yeah, we gotta cover Threads. I told everybody Threads is going to be the main topic probably today. So
and just so everyone knows, you have three fans of Grip
Thank
here.
You.
On the episode. So you will be coming back in a couple of weeks. So we can after this all calms down and we can actually talk about Grip. But briefly, tell us about the webinar that's coming up. And then also just a little bit about Grip, and then we'll
can I ask you one question though?
Yeah.
As you're doing it, explain to us why Grip. We don't want the regular way. We don't do anything regular around here.
Well, let me explain. So why I joined Grip? How about that? So I was at BizBash for 6 years. I learned from David Adler, who he calls himself the world's oldest millennial. And so I learned really early on, adopting technology was really important. And that's why I was really excited to talk about Threads. But after spending 6 years at BizBash, spending some time at other tech companies, decided to come aboard Grip because I really do think that Grip is at the forefront of some really powerful AI matchmaking technology. So there are others in the space that do matchmaking, but what Grip does is it's actually running 15 different AI strategies and generating matches every 3 seconds. So when you're at an event and you're planning to go to an event and you're building your schedule, you're building your meetings and your agenda out and creating your own kind of calendar of what you're going to do at the event, you're going to get recommendations of people to match with based on what you both care about, what you both like, what continents you're in, and then as you select the machine learning, it actually gets smarter. So that's why it's won a bunch of awards. That's why Emerald uses it, and Clarion, and QuestX, and some of these others. We actually did a thing with Dahlia too, Dahlia El-Ghazar, who we all know. And just it, really what we found is that organizers, 72% said that they get more money if they did pre-scheduled meetings. And so Grip with its AI, that's really why I joined, because AI was just the hot topic and it's what people are talking about. And I've known Grip since 2015. So I've known it since it was intros. I've known it for a long time and I know it's good stuff. So I thought this was a great thing to come aboard to at a critical time for AI in the industry.
Thank you. Well, works. See, made that much more exciting.
The webinar.
Yes. So the webinar is coming up. It's called Mastering the Event App, Power Up Your Engagement and User Experience. It's coming up Tuesday, July 11th at 12 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. British time. So check it out. Maybe we'll get a link out to people somehow. But we've got some good guests on. We've got the CEO of GovNet, James Tucker. We've got the founder of Lively, Ruben, and Abby Cannons, who anytime somebody brings up Grip, it's like, oh, how's Abby doing? So Abby will be probably moderating that, who's our senior product marketing manager. So very excited about that one.
All right. And on that note, I say we all take the rest of the day and don't go pull on some threads.
Why not?
You like how I did that?
Pull on some threads. I like that. Thank you, everyone, for joining us at the Event Tech Pull-Up. My name is Tess Bismel from iSocialX. My co-host today, of course, and always is who? He's going to miss the beat. He always
this
misses
idiot.
The beat.
This it. I do because I can never do that. The idiot Keith in this other chair, and then our Philly-any other person Bob, and then John. Thank you everybody for being here.
Thanks for having me.